basis of many of the diseases that susceptible populations experience. And I think at UIC, we've made a big step in the right direction to addressing this by the recruitment of this individual, Rick Kittles, who is a premier world-class human geneticist whose research focuses on colon and prostate cancer. And Rick is just simply one of the top human geneticists in the world. And he's been recruited to UIC, and I think he's going to help us build this part of our portfolio to examine and reduce healthcare disparities. As one example of how we plan to do this, I wanted to just touch for a second upon this issue of our treatment and management of patients with sickle cell disease. I think you know that University of Illinois at Chicago has had, again, a longstanding commitment to the care of these individuals, and where other institutions during the economic downturn have obviously had some discussions and have made movements to try to care for, to reduce care for medically underserved populations or to shuttle them to other hospitals. Instead, UIC actually opened a sickle cell treatment center. This comprehensive sickle cell center engages individuals and talented faculty and staff from the colleges of medicine, nursing, school of public health, college of pharmacy, and does a terrific job in caring for these patients. But one of the problems, I think, that needs to be recognized is that the genetic mutations for sickle cell have been known for quite some time, yet new therapies and new ways of diagnosing and treating patients with sickle cell have been lagging much behind. For those reasons, we think this merging of the emerging technologies that have been created in response to the mapping of the human genome will lead us to have new insights into sickle cell disease, lead to new trials of new therapies for these patients, identify new ways of identifying patients at risk for complications using molecular and genetic variants. And I really believe that in the next 3 to 5 years, UIC will absolutely be the national model for how we personalize the treatment for patients with sickle cell disease. This is just a paradigm that we hope to implement in other domains across our campus. So, of course, in order to accomplish these somewhat lofty goals, it is absolutely imperative that we train the next generation of researchers and create a diverse biomedical and behavioral research workforce. Fortunately, UIC is absolutely poised to be a leader in this area as well. Through very innovative initiatives like the UIC College Prep High School, through our undergraduate and graduate programs, I think that UIC will be a leader in the training of biomedical researchers and educators and clinicians that will be able to impact this important area of health disparities. So with that, I guess I'm going to close. And again, I think just publicly thank Chancellor Alan Mears for giving me this great opportunity. And I very much look forward to in the future opportunities at board meetings like this to let you know about our efforts and success that I think actually will truly make a difference. Thanks. Thank you, sir. I'm happy to answer any questions before I step away from the podium here.
I think everybody was overwhelmed. So thank you very much. Do you want to follow up with the hospital committee at this time, or would that be okay? I think so. That way we can see. They can use that for you and we can see that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
At the same time.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, Tim, if you could lead us through the report of the hospital committee, that'd be terrific.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, the hospital committee met yesterday at 1 p.m. For approximately 2 hours. We enjoyed a very spirited meeting with an excellent exchange of ideas. I would like to publicly thank all who attended. All members were present, and I would especially like to thank those who presented. The talks were uniformly excellent yesterday. I'll try to give you a brief synopsis of the highlights of the meeting with a couple more detailed discussions to follow. Of course, it was noted that since our last meeting in March, landmark federal healthcare legislation has been passed in Washington. Needless to say, it is a voluminous and complicated piece of legislation, and exactly how it will affect us really remains to be seen. Our vigilance and surveillance will be critical moving forward and able to respond to changes in the healthcare landscape and to optimize the mission and the performance of the medical center. Regarding finances, thanks to some windfall payments we received in fiscal 2010, we will finish this year well into the black. I think Walt mentioned that earlier this morning. And I can safely say I think we have enough money to cover Walt's pacemaker for another year. The most notable aspect, though, of the windfall profits is that we have funding now to be able to start our construction and deferred maintenance programs exactly on schedule without having to obtain any funding through bonds. Additionally, we stand solvent enough to accomplish necessary repairs mandated by a recent IDPH survey, that's Illinois Department of Public Health, such as steam plant infrastructure redundancies necessary for workplace safety. You probably recall last winter the problems we had with the steam generation at the University Hospital. This will fix that problem. The committee received the annual report of the quality of health care at the University Hospital at the meeting yesterday. Again, the safety folks did us proud with excellent compliance with QI initiatives. I would like to point out to the board that there seems to be a new push by federal regulators for what is deemed adequate documentation in order to be reimbursed for services. Our campuses are well positioned for compliance there due to our extensively wired status. Finally, I would like to report that this May we conferred our first 3 degrees in Masters of Health Safety. This program is exploding with interest, with now an additional 25 enrollees. Directly, you will hear a more in-depth presentation on finances. Following that, we would like to brief you on 2 exciting endeavors in our health sciences. One is on the rural medicine program at our campus in Rockford, which provides essential medical care to many underserved Illinois citizens in rural Illinois counties. And it is recognized as one of the top 5 such programs in the United States. Following that, I think you will find interesting a presentation on telemedicine. I believe this has tremendous potential, both as a service to our patients and as a business opportunity, and comes replete with a good old U of I G-Wiz technological demo. So as not to keep you from that, I will close in saying that these do seem to be interesting and exciting times for the Hospital Committee and the University of Illinois Healthcare Sciences. And our next meeting will be in Urbana on 9/22/10. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Do you guys mind using this podium?
I'll do it from here, and Joe will do it from over there.
Okay.
So we're all set.
In stereo.
You're going to get it in stereo, yeah, from both sides. Well, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to make a couple of comments about the financial performance, and Walt did a really good job summarizing it. Dr. Cords did a good job summarizing it. And so I was trying to think about how I could even be faster at summarizing it. And I think the only thing I have to say is that at the end of the third quarter, we're approximately $25 million to the good. Now, while Dr. Cords mentioned windfall, I really want to make sure that people understand that while there are some one-time adjustments to that, a lot of it represents the work that was done throughout the year. So when we think about the money we've got from Medicare, the adjustment that we got had to do with the fact that our transplant volume has gone up so much. We are now the second largest transplant program, kidneys, in Chicago and growing rapidly, and we have the best graft survival rate of kidney transplants in Chicago. So that is really good. On the Medicaid front, we have partnered with the state of Illinois. We are the largest single-site Medicaid provider for the state of Illinois, and so they work very closely with us to help us deal with the rates and paying a rate that can provide the academic level, that can support the academic level of care that we provide. I also wanted to mention, you know, most of the time we talk about revenue, we think about what goes on in the hospital. But as we had a chance to talk about a little bit yesterday at the hospital committee, there are many initiatives that we and the College of Medicine and departments within the College of Medicine have to help bring in additional revenue. So for instance, we have used the capacity we have in our pathology lab to provide pathology services for multiple hospitals, physicians' offices, and other areas throughout the state. Our radiation oncology contract that we have with the VA has been very beneficial for the VA patients and for us in using the capacity we have here in high energy treatments to take care of VA patients. And our diagnostic imaging centers have grown very well. So there is a lot of components to the revenue side of the equation. The other thing I wanted to point out, though, is a lot of credit goes to our staff, our people who took on the extra work during this time of furloughs, during this time of reduced staffing. Our staffing level today is about the lowest it's been since 2005. And our staff have really stepped forward. Our managers have really stepped forward. And when you take a look at what our salary costs are, we're about $9 million below budget on salary costs. And you take a look at supplies and services, it's about $2 million. So to summarize, sitting here at about $25 million to the good is really important. And I think it's really important for one of the things that Walt said. We are going to be able to do year one, starting fiscal 11, of the $14 million worth of renovations to our current building with our own operating money. So we will not need to come back to the university. We will not need to go out for bonds. We will be able to fund this ourselves. Dr. Kortz mentioned the IDPH survey. And during the IDPH survey, there were some additional conditions that were found that we need to fix in our building. That's going to be somewhere around $5, $7, $10 million. Again, because of what we have done this year, we are going to be able to deal with that. And I was joking with Chancellor Alan Mears that, you know, at least she and I and the provost don't need to make a trip to President Eikenberry's office to beg for money to fix up conditions in the hospital, because we can afford it. The last important point, though, about where we are in our financial condition is I think it is extremely important, and I think everybody in the room knows it, but I would just like to underline it, that a financially viable healthcare system is critical to the education and research missions of our university. If we don't keep our healthcare and our clinical care enterprise financially viable and sustainable, it will have a very drastic impact on research and education. And listening to Skip's presentation, I've heard this once before, and it is really exciting to think about our future. But to drive our future forward, we need to have a healthcare and a clinical care enterprise that is self-sustaining. The last slide that I have takes a look at fiscal 11. And again, we're looking at finishing 10, somewhere around, hopefully, $30 million to the good. Fiscal 11 this is our first pass through, so we don't want anybody to get too excited or nervous. Taking a look at a $5 million bottom line, there's some work to do both on the expense side and on the revenue side, but barring any cataclysmic changes coming along, we're projecting being able to move into fiscal 11 in very good shape. So let me now turn this over to Joe, who's going to talk about the MSP and the finances for the group practice.
Can I just break in for 1 second? I want to apologize. I should have introduced my cohorts in crime here. John DiNardo is CEO of the University Hospital. Most of you probably know these gentlemen. Joe Flaherty, Dean of the Medical School. I apologize I didn't do that earlier.
Thank you, Trustee Kortz. First, just very, very briefly, to accompany John's piece on finances, you see the overall College of Medicine, Peoria, Rockford, Urbana, and Chicago, on just the clinical revenues. Clinical revenues, about 30% of our total revenues, research being a much larger component. We have kept revenue well above expenses. The Chicago campus is dotted. We've had a steady increase. Peoria had a modest uptick, and we're working with the other campuses. So the physician group is doing well, however, not sufficiently to hire new faculty, which is a major issue. The interesting thing to accompany John DiNardo's presentation is the future of healthcare, as we now know it, is going to be through accountable care organizations. Not how does the hospital do, how does the physician group do, but how does the system do? So it will require us to have a single system rather than looking who's going to benefit more or less, and John and I are in complete agreement on that. In moving forward, we have other added advantages as being a large collective across the state. If I could now go to the two present, we have a lot of cash on balance. Don't try to spend that, Walt.